Welcome back to Prophecy Today. We're going to continue with our broadcast partners, this time David Dolan, longtime journalist in the Middle East, over 30 years. And he is on top of those events, those current activities taking place in the Middle East. That's why we go to him on a weekly basis. David, I want to talk about the speeches at the United Nations General Assembly between President Obama and President Rouhani of Iran. We'll do that in a moment. But first, Hamas has threatened a third intifada. Explain for our listeners, if you will, what an intifada is, and then talk to us about Hamas's threats.
Well, Jimmy, it's of course an Arabic word, intifada, and it literally means shaking off. Like if you had a viper attached to your arm, like the Apostle Paul had, he shook it off into the fire, we're told. It's the same word. And what it's meant in this context is the shaking off of Israeli rule. And that was the term that they coined in the late 80s when Hamas was first founded, 1988, for the first Palestinian uprising that began in December of that year. A shaking off of Israeli rule in the Judea and Samaria and the Gaza Strip is what they had in mind. And, of course, eventually the Israelis did leave the Gaza Strip. Very dramatic exit in the year 2005. Both 8,000-plus Israeli settlers, residents of Gaza that had lived there for some time, and as you know, you were there, had beautiful farms, and agriculture was thriving and other things there as well. They all left, and all Israeli soldiers left. So in that sense, Hamas achieved what they said they wanted all along, was Israeli rule to end and Israel to be gone as a ruler over them. And that's what the Gaza Strip is. And, of course, also in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, it's Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority that rule 9/10 of the Palestinians that live there. A few are still under Israeli rule in areas that were agreed by both sides in the negotiations to be sensitive and delicate and things they needed to work on in the future. But apart from that, they do have their own rule, and yet here is Hamas threatening another uprising. So one has to wonder, well, what's the goal of this one? They don't have Israel in the Gaza Strip now. Does it mean they want Israel totally destroyed? They want Israel out of Tel Aviv, etc.? Well, that's, of course, what their charter says, and it's what they repeatedly say. So in that sense, they continue to echo Iran and others calling for Israel's total annihilation, threatening to take further action to make that come about.
David, I've read some information coming from Hamas. They're very much concerned about the fact that the Jews have been going up onto the Temple Mount, and there are Jewish activists who want to have greater entree onto the Temple Mount, and more often if possible. And this could be, according to some Hamas officials, the motivator for this third intifada. But is that enough to make them start doing the suicide attacks again and sending more missiles from out of the Gaza Strip into Israel proper?
No, it's not enough in a real sense, but yes, it's enough to have an excuse to reignite the violence and to go after Israel. These people are not stupid. They hold to the dogma that Jews have no connection to the Temple Mount, that there's no historical evidence that there was ever a Jewish temple there. Arafat used to say that all the time. But their scholars, their journalists, their more educated people know that's nonsense. Of course there was a Jewish temple there. The Jewish people come from there. The Bible is full of their history. It's detailed. Archaeology has proved it time and time again. I mean, good grief, they just found near the Temple Mount a house with a huge bath in it from the Second Temple period. It was obviously one of the religious officials of the time's home. It had a ritual Jewish bath in it. Why would these places have Jewish ritual baths if the Jews weren't there? So, you know, it would just be an excuse. But the Temple Mount, as you know, is the hot-button issue in the region. The Palestinians want that under their total authority. They don't want Israeli police to ever be able to go up there, or Israeli soldiers to go up there, or Jews at all to go up there and pray. And for the most part, most Israelis stay away from it. Of course, the police have a little outpost up there, and they have to storm it every so often when there's trouble. And the Arabs don't like that and are always demanding that to be reversed. So, yeah, that's been a trigger many times before, going back to the 1920s. In 1929, the rumor was that Jews had gone up there and were in the Muslim mosque, which was not true, but it started a riot that led to over 60 Jews being killed and the city of Hebron being ransacked, the Jewish community there, etc. So this isn't a new thing on their side. They're just bringing up something that's worked before.
When we think about what's been going on in New York City, we have to have in our mind the fact that indeed the Jews are concerned, the nation of Israel, with two different spokesmen at the United Nations General Assembly, President Obama representing, of course, the United States, but also President Rouhani representing the nation of Iran. And with his charm offensive, he basically has been moving closer to the United States. Talk to me about Israel's concern over what Obama had to say, many things, but seemingly moving closer to Iran and the possibility of some type of a meeting.
Well, you know, Jimmy, I've talked to Israeli leaders over the years, over the last 10 years at least, about this topic a number of times and interviewed them, et cetera, and, you know, what to do with Iran and how much of a threat is and what should the Western stance be, and in particular what the United States should or shouldn't do. They've always said, all of them, including Netanyahu, that negotiations are the preferred method. If negotiations can succeed in causing the Iranian regime to stop its uranium enrichment program, then God bless it. They would be happy for that. They're not looking for a war with Iran. They're not looking for a major military operation because they're bored. And, of course, that's true for the United States, and there is a war weariness here, and especially concerning the Middle East, and we just saw that over the question of Syria and their chemical weapons. So on the one level, the Israeli leaders are you know, saying, well, good luck, you know, go for it. But if that means at the same time that they're beginning such a process with what are seen as inordinate concessions, and just meeting with these people and talking with them in a normal way is almost a concession, because they have for so many years stonewalled the West and the United States and the United Nations and the Atomic Energy Agency, and they've lied and they've cheated and they've done so many things that are underhanded. And of course has sponsored major international terrorism via Hezbollah mainly, and blowing up the Jewish Community Center in Argentina, killing over 80 people in the 1990s, other things like that. So they have a lot to answer for, and that's all I think the Israeli leadership now is saying is, okay, you know, talk, but be cautious, and don't overstate things, and don't let somebody that just says a few words. Words are cheap. Actions are what counts, and, you know, if they're going to really reduce their uranium enrichment process or even end it, which is what is being requested, then great. But let's see some actual proof that there's a real turn here and not just a new guy on the block that has a nice suit and he talks nice.
Well, I think that's going to be the approach of Prime Minister Netanyahu as he, this week, will address the United Nations. He said, I don't know if this was a tongue-in-cheek type of a statement that I'm going to spoil the party there at the United Nations General Assembly, but he does want to alert the entire world that, hey, this charm offensive is probably only that, and it's probably not real, and we need to be vigilant as it relates to the development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction in Iran.
I'm sure that's what he'll say, Jimmy, and he's also saying something else, and that is, why is this charm offensive coming at the very last minute? In other words, Iran is now almost to the point where they can produce, without any outside help, a nuclear weapon. They've been enriching this uranium for many years now. They've been spinning it up to 20% grade. It can quickly be made weapons grade after that, very rapidly. So in other words, you know, why not 10 years ago? Why is this coming right when they're on the verge of having that capability? And why would they give it up right at the verge of it? So there's a lot of skepticism in Jerusalem, to say the least, over all of this. And he certainly is going to bring that up.
Well, indeed, at the same time, the Israeli Defense Force is preparing for some type of a strike possibility against the Iranian nuclear weapon of mass destruction operation.
Well, that's right. They're not going to lay down their guard at all. They're going to keep preparing and keep training, keep watching. But again, nobody would be happier than Netanyahu and his cronies if suddenly there was a total real change of heart in Iran and they really did give up this program and change their behavior, etc. That would be wonderful. But, you know, we had Neville Chamberlain, that old historic reminder, coming back saying we have peace in our time. And within a year, Hitler had invaded Poland. We had the worst war the world's ever seen. So words, you know, fine, but they're not what really counts in the end. And the Israelis, of all people, will keep that very much in mind.
And only time will tell how this all works out. David Dolan, he covers the Middle East for us with his Middle East News Update on a weekly basis. We're so grateful for David doing that. We need this information as we look at the world this day in light of biblical prophecy. Hey, David, thank you so very much. Appreciate it, my good friend.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.